Like I said, you didn't earn your salvation by work, so you don't have to walk around thinking that you're going to make a mistake or slip up and you're going to lose your salvation. God's interested in your heart and your relationship with him. You know, the question should always be, do you really know him intimately? And will he be able to say that he knows you when the time comes? That should be the question that we have on our hearts. We shouldn't be running around scared. You know, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And so we shouldn't have to, God doesn't want you walking around afraid that you're going to make a mistake. When we really start spending time getting to know God, we'll notice that something's going to start happening. And I'm going to explain exactly what's going to start happening. When you really start spending time just getting to know him, spending time in his presence, you know, this is something that really transformed my life, is when I just made a decision that regardless of how I felt, regardless of if I didn't feel like it, if I didn't want to do it, your flesh is never going to want to be in the presence of God, point blank. It's never going to want to be in the presence of God. Your flesh has, you have to do things while it's still uncomfortable, and eventually it will become easier. But a lot of times it's really a struggle to enter into the presence of God, to force yourself to sit down and read that Bible, to force yourself to sit down and take time out to pray. But when I really just started forcing myself to do those things, while they were still uncomfortable, I still just didn't feel like doing it. I didn't feel like I had the time to do it. I didn't realize at that time that I really didn't have the time not to do it, because just spending that extra time in the presence of the Lord was going to pretty much make everything else that I was going to do a lot simpler, so it's going to save me time in the long run. But I didn't understand that at that point. I just did it because I knew that in my heart, I could feel that I needed more of him. And so I just had to draw a line in the sand and just do it. You know, a lot of times we get, like I said before, we kind of live in this microwave society, and everything is a lot easier now to do. You know, just practical things are so much easier to do now than they used to be. You know, you have the microwave and you have the washer and dryer, and you have a lot of things we don't really necessarily have to work for. And so we kind of can sometimes get out of the mentality of having to really work for something that we want. But if you really want a relationship with God that's going to be deep and intimate, it's going to take effort. It's not something that's going to just happen. And I'm off task. Okay, Amira, wind it back in. We have nine. We still have 6 pages of notes to get through. Bring it back. Okay, praise God. But, you know, as I was saying, when you spend time in the presence of the Lord, you spend time in his word, you spend time in prayer, there's something that's going to happen to you. And I'm just going to read this scripture. Every healthy, sound tree bears good fruit, worthy of admiration. But the sickly, decaying, worthless tree bears bad, worthless fruit. A good, healthy tree cannot bear bad, worthless fruit, nor can a bad, diseased tree bear excellent fruit, worthy of admiration. Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruits. And that's Matthew 7:17-20. Now, you're probably wondering, Amira, what in the world does that have to do with living in a fallen world? What does that have to do with what you were just talking about getting to know God? You're talking about fruit and decaying trees. Well, just like everyone else, just like everything else, you're known by your fruit. And you have to ask yourself, can people look at your actions and your attitudes and tell that you're a child of God? Or do you just like look like the world? You know, people know you by your fruits. And if we take it even a step further, whose fruit are you displaying? Are you displaying the world's fruit, or are you displaying the Holy Spirit's fruit? You know, the fruit of this world is the fruits of this world are things like anger and lust and stress and fear. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace and a sound mind. And, you know, a lot of times we don't realize that the reason that we're displaying we're starting to look like the world is because pretty much you become who you hang around. That's what it comes down to, you know. And I actually said this in a devotional that I sent out a few weeks back, but you become who you hang around. And everyone's, you know, parents have been saying this for years and years, and it's true. It's always been true. It always will be true. You know, I remember when I was a little girl, my mom would not let me hang around certain people. And that was because she knew the power of association. Whoever I spent most of my time around, I was eventually, inevitably going to start picking up some of those traits. And so the same thing is true for us as adults. We become who we hang around. If we spend most of our time hanging around people who are of the world, and, you know, a lot of times we don't have any choice. You have to go to work. You know, I mean, some of us don't, you know, work outside of the home. But if you do work outside of the home, you have to go to work. You have to, to some degree, deal with family members who aren't necessarily Christians and who aren't following the Lord, and they're still in the world, and we have to deal with those people. And sometimes we feel like, you know, how am I supposed to maintain my composure and be a beacon of light in the midst of all of this? But the key is that we have to counteract the effects of spending time with worldly people by spending time with the Holy Spirit. And that's really the key to being able to go to work and being around people who maybe, you know, they're talking bad about you behind your back, and they're just doing all types of different things that go on in the workplace. I'm not even going to get into all of that. But when you're dealing with all of that, if you've spent enough time with the Lord, when you go into the workplace and you're dealing with ungodly people, you're able to deal with them with a sense of peace, with a sense of purpose, realizing that it doesn't matter what they do because God's going to take care of you. You know, they can go in and try to back talk you to the boss if they want to, but God's your provider, and that job's not your provider, and your boss isn't your provider. You know, when you start spending time with the Lord, He's able to reveal certain things to you and to speak to you, and so that when you go into those situations and you have those negative situations at the workplace, or you have those negative situations with your family, you're able to not lose your composure and not begin to act the way the world acts. Because a lot of times we feel like, you know, oh, it's impossible. You know, I've heard people say, oh, they're going to make me lay down my religion. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard anyone say that, but it's always interesting to me when someone says that, because I just ask myself, you know, is it something that can be laid down? Is it really something that you can just lay down that quickly? But praise God. We can't lay down our religion. We shouldn't be laying down our religion. And the reason that a lot of times certain people can lay down their religion is because that's all that it is. It's not relationship. It's not intimacy with God. It's not time in His presence. It's just some rules on a page to them. And we have to get to the point where we go from having everything be based on religion, and we enter in and allow it to be based on relationship. You know, does God, am I looking at it? You know, I talk about this a lot in the School of the Spirit. Is it a rule book, or is it a love letter? When you look at your Bible, what do you see? And be honest with yourself when you answer that question. When you look at your Bible, what do you see? Do you see a rule book, or do you see a love letter? And I'm just going to pause for a second there, because I think that right there is the key that will unlock, and I really think that will set so many people free if at first they're honest with themselves when they answer that question for themselves of the way that they look at the Bible, and then if they realize that they are looking at it as a rule book, if they will address it and take that to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what, I realize just right now, I'm just starting to realize that I've been bound up in religion. And I want to be set free in relationship with you. Glory to God. Okay, off task again. Getting back. We're on page 4 of the notes now, though, so we're moving. We are moving, I tell you what. And with 20 minutes to go, praise the Lord. Okay, we may not get through all of the questions. I'm not one of those people where I'll just rush through just to make sure we get through everything, because my goal isn't to be able to check it off and say that I did it, but my goal is to make sure that it blesses you and that you get everything that God has to say to you. So I hope that doesn't anger anyone. You don't feel like, oh, she didn't get through all the questions. You know, I know a lot of people are checkmark people, and I used to be a checkmark person too, and I had to check everything off the list, but God's been working with me on that, and I know that it's more important that you get what you need than that I complete tasks that I put on a list. So if we have to make it roll over to the next class, then we'll make it roll over to the next class. We're going to go ahead and, oh, I'm not finished with this question. Let me go back up. I'm going to read the last scripture that goes with this question. Just as a reminder, since I did get a little off task, I'm just going to read the question again. The question was, how does a Christian maintain their salvation when they live among unsaved people? And I was just talking about you become who you hang around. You know, we have to counteract the effects of being around worldly people with spending time in the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand why that's so important. So I'm going to read Matthew 5, 3 through 16. Right now, and it's actually out of the New Living Translation, and it's Matthew 5:13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. You know, a lot of times people read the scripture and they stop after, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. But you realize that your good deeds, you want your good deeds to shine not for you, but so that God can be glorified. You know, we are supposed to light up the world, not become like it. It's our light. It's God's light living inside of us. When we allow that light to show, that is what draws people to Christ. You know, when we have the joy of the Lord, when the world is stuck in depression, when we have the peace of the Lord, when the world just has stress, then everyone's going to want to know, how do you have peace? And, you know, the issue is that so many of us have those same problems. You know, we, instead of having the joy, we have the depression. Instead of having the peace, we have the stress. And one of the reasons for that is because we haven't been spending that time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, we talked about this a little bit at the Reaching for the Hymn conference that we had a little while ago. A lot of times people think of the fruits of the Spirit as a checklist. You know, oh, okay, I need joy, and I need a little bit of peace, and I need a sound mind, and they're looking at it, you know, we're going back to that checklist mentality, and they don't realize that none of that stuff, they can't get any of that on their own. They have no clue. They've missed the fact that it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, that it comes out of the Holy Spirit, that it's not something that they can get from themselves, and they try to somehow muster up from within themselves these fruits that they're not even the ones that give them out. The Holy Spirit, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It comes specifically from being with the Holy Spirit. That's where those fruits come from. And so I can't stress that enough, that it's those fruits, it's that light that shines out of you, that is the Holy Spirit, that is God living in you. That's what draws people to God. And so that's why it's so important that we are a light in the darkness, that we don't allow ourselves to just reflect the world, but we learn how to reflect God and spend enough time with God to where His presence will overshadow that negativity that we can get from the people that we interact with on a daily basis. Okay, question number 3. I labeled this question self-condemnation, and I'm going to explain why in a second. What if we don't feel saved? Do our feelings play a part in our salvation? You know, our society is very much emotion-based. In fact, many of our churches are emotion-based. You know, even people in the church are often led around by goosebumps and chills, and there's nothing wrong with getting emotional about God. I mean, God gave us our emotions, and He can use our emotions for some powerful things. And so I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't be emotional in church. I think it's very healthy, but that doesn't mean that our emotions are the law or that we should allow our emotions to lead us. Okay? And sometimes I'm thinking back to when I first accepted Christ as my Savior, and then watching other people who, you know, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people, really thousands and thousands of people accept Christ as their Savior over the time that I've been walking with the Lord. And so people have different experiences when they first accept Christ. You know, sometimes when we first receive when we first receive God, we're waiting for some big jolt, right? We're just kind of sitting there waiting. We're expecting something to happen because we look around at everyone else and we see how they're, you know, they're crying and they're so emotional. So we wonder if, since we're not crying and we're not emotional, if we still received our salvation, if we're still saved. Other times when we first receive Christ, we're filled with such emotion and excitement that we run around for the rest of our lives trying to get back that, quote-unquote, that feeling that we had when we first met God. And we have to realize we can't be led around by our emotions. You know, we're not saved by how we feel. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. And that's where faith comes in. You know, a lot of times people will think that, you know, they'll ask me, you know, Mary, if I don't feel God with me, is God, you know, I don't think God's with me, I don't feel him. And so we get in this place to where we think that we have to feel him in order for him to really be there, and we don't realize that even if we don't feel God, he's still there, because he promised that he won't leave us or forsake us. Just like even if we don't necessarily feel any different, if we don't feel saved, we have to believe that we're saved. Why? Because he said so. Because he said so. You know, and a lot of this goes, a lot of this comes in as well with us feeling forgiven. A lot of times we might commit a sin and we'll go to God and we'll repent, but we don't feel forgiven. And so we wonder, since I don't feel forgiven, am I really forgiven? Well, that's where faith comes in. Because what faith says is, regardless of how I feel, I trust what God says. It doesn't matter how I feel or how I don't feel. I trust what God says. If he says that he forgave me, if he said that he would forgive me when I repented, then I repented, so he's forgiven me. I don't really have to check anything else. I don't have to think about anything else, because I'm trusting what he said. Because he's not going to lie to me. He's going to tell me the truth. My emotions are fickle. My emotions will change, but he's not going to change. He's going to stay the same. I'm just going to read this scripture. I'm reading Romans 10, 9 through 11, the Amplified Version. Romans 10, 9 through 11, the Amplified Version. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified. They are declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. The scripture says, and this is still part of the same scripture, the scripture says, no man who believes in him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in him, will ever be put to shame or disappointed. Glory to God. You know, according to Romans 10 and 10, which is part of the scripture I just read, our salvation is based on whether or not we adhere to, trust in, and rely on Christ. That's all that our salvation is based on. Not how we feel, not what we think, not what somebody else thinks, not what we do. Our salvation is based on whether or not we believe that Christ took our sins. And see, a lot of times Satan can deceive us into, you know, he'll just start whispering all of this stuff in our ear. You know, you're not saved. If you were saved, you wouldn't have really said that. If you were saved, you wouldn't really be thinking that. So you must not be saved, so you must not. And see what happens, all of a sudden, he starts chipping away at your faith. He starts chipping away at your ability to believe that God has forgiven you, that you are saved, that you are redeemed by the blood of God. You know, our emotions are fickle. Our thoughts are fickle. They change. But God's word is consistent. And so you have to base your salvation and your self-worth, just everything that you are and all that you believe that you can ever be, you have to base that on something that does not change. If you don't do that, you're going to forever be emotionally unstable. And until you finally base everything that you are and your beliefs in yourself and your self-image and everything that you are, until you finally base that on the one thing in the world that will never change, you will never find emotional stability. And that's something that I had to learn. Because with all the things that I went through growing up and things like that, if I were going to base my belief in myself and my self-image and my self-worth and my salvation on how I felt, I would have never been able to walk in the victory of God. But because I finally was like, you know what, I'm just going to believe what he says. I'm just going to believe what he says. It doesn't matter if it makes sense. It doesn't matter that that's the way, whether or not that's the way I feel. I'm just going to believe it simply because he said it, and I know he wouldn't lie to me. I just have to believe that he wouldn't lie. And, you know, that's one of the issues that people have the biggest problems with, because a lot of times people have been so hurt and they've been deceived by other people, and they've been lied to and hurt by so many different human beings, that their ability to totally sell out and trust the Lord is hindered by all of that baggage, you know, all of the things that they've ever been through. Just like people carry baggage into marriages and relationships here in the natural realm, people carry baggage into their relationship with God. And what we have to do is say, you know what, I'm going to carry this baggage in here, and I'm going to carry it onto the throne. And I'm just going to give it to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I really encourage you, if you feel like there are certain things that are inhibiting your ability to trust God and to really believe that he loves you, to really believe that he's for you and not against you, you know, if you always feel like God's trying to punish you for something, that's not trying to punish you for anything. He's not trying to punish you. He's not trying to beat you up and condemn you and hurt you. And, you know, the Bible says that he has plans for you, and they are for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's his promise to you, that he has plans. He actually has specific plans for your life, and they are to do good for you. They are to give you a future and a hope. That's his plan for you. And, you know, if you hear that and it's hard for you to really believe it, then you need to make a list of, you know, just ask God, are there things that are hindering me from believing that? You know, why is it hard for me to really grab hold of that? Why do I hear it and something inside of me just thinks, yeah, right, for somebody else but not for me? Yeah, he'll do it for somebody else but not for me. You know, if you hear that little, if every time you want something, yeah, I know he could do it, but I don't think he'll do it for me. If every time you need him to work on your behalf, that's what's just kind of going on in the back of your mind, you need to take that to the Lord and ask him, Lord, there's something going on here that's not right. You know, I always like to tell people that one of the keys to any relationship is communication. And if you will open up that communication with the Lord, it will really, you know, it'll really revolutionize your life and your walk. And so I just want to believe, I'm realizing that we only have 5 minutes left. Praise God. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just kind of break out and start talking about something else. I just looked at the clock and thought, oh, praise the Lord, we have 5 minutes left. So we're going to stop right there. And I know that we have 3 more questions that we didn't really get a chance to go through, but we're going to cover those in the next class. So I have definitely learned that I can probably do 3 questions per class and not 6 like I initially thought. But I really want to encourage you to just take things to the Lord. You know, if that's just the last thing that if that's just what we end on today, I want to encourage you to take your challenges that you have to the Lord. You know, a lot of people wrote in and people just had so many questions for me, and I was just reading through the questions, and one of the things that God put on my heart was, you know, why don't they ask me? Why don't they ask me? But a lot of times we're almost intimidated to take those questions to the Lord when he's just there, ready and willing to help you, ready and willing to love on you and to guide you. You know, the Holy Spirit is supposed to be your counselor, the one that guides you and helps you. You know, there have been plenty of times in my life when I needed a counselor, glory to God, and I was glad that the Holy Spirit was there and could be my counselor, because you know what, man doesn't always get me, but praise God that my Heavenly Father, he gets me, he understands me, hallelujah. So we're going to stop there for today. Just a few things that I did want to say before we totally close. If, Slow down, Amira. My brain's going 1,000 miles an hour right now. Okay, our next class will be Thursday, August the 7th, and we were going to focus that class on the Holy Spirit, but we'll probably have to postpone our class on the Holy Spirit and just go ahead and finish up the questions that we were going to have. The other three questions we were going to do today, we'll just do those next week. Also, for all of you who are in the School of the Spirit, those who are already registered students of the School of the Spirit, a recording of this call will be available for all of you on Monday, and it will also have my teaching notes in there as well. So if you want to go over that, I know those of you who are students in there, you guys are really excited about studying and just really going deeper in the Lord. So I know several of you will probably listen to this a few times, so it will be in there for you. You'll just be able to download it from there. For those of you who aren't students of the School of the Spirit as of yet, you can, as I said before, you can actually go to archives, A-R-C-H-I-V-E-S, archives.schoolofthespirit.org, and that is hyphenated, and there is a special discount for people who are actually on the call today. So you just put in Seekers Special, and that's one word, S-E-E-K-E-R-S-S-P-E-C-I-A-L, Seekers Special, and you'll be able to, for the next 48 hours, you'll be able to get the entire call plus all of my notes, and you'll be able to get the full complete notes, the stuff that we didn't get to yet. You'll be able to get that for just $5. So I hope that blesses you. Also, if you enjoyed the call, I'd really love to hear from you. I've actually set up a page where people can just talk about different things that they learned in the class, and I just hope that people will actually come and tell me what you thought, because it's different. You know, I'm used to teaching in person, and so it's different when you teach over the Internet, because you don't get to see people's faces and to see how people are receiving things and get a chance to talk to people and really see what they're learning. So that's one of the things, one of the reasons I started up the actual school, the School of the Spirit, versus just doing the Hymn of His Garment Bible study, because I feel like I don't get any feedback from people. I'm like, I think, you know, I'm saying what God told me to say, so I'm just believing by faith that people are getting something out of it. But it's nice to be able to hear feedback from people. So if you would like to just drop me a line and tell me how you liked the class, either you can email me. I know all of you probably have my email address because I've emailed you a few times. You can either email me directly, or you can go to feedback.schoolofthespirit.org. That's feedback, one word, .schoolofthespirit.org. Remember, School of the Spirit is hyphenated. So I really pray that you were blessed today. And like I said, if you really were blessed, or if there was something that you didn't necessarily like, you know, you can always, or that you wish we would have done a little bit differently, just go ahead and go to feedback.schoolofthespirit.org and just tell me your thoughts about the class, because this is our first class, but we will be doing these free classes every 2 weeks. And like I said before, our next class will be August the 7th. And if you want a recording of this class, you can go to archives.schoolofthespirit.org. So as we're closing here, we'll be closing in about a minute. So I just want to go ahead and close this out with prayer. So if you will all just approach the throne of the Lord with me. Lord, we glorify you and we praise you. We thank you for this opportunity to really just seek you and to learn more of you. And we just want to tell you that we love you.